soiree going tomorrow. It's Halloween. Rock and Roll Circus with Randall Shreve and the Sideshow. That dude is out of hand.
Yeah, isn't I thought Stephen Kneeper was playing sometime this weekend.
I do not know this. All I know is
some reason
tomorrow, Halloween.
Yeah, Randall Shreve's cool, man.
Randall's
he's got his own vibe.
It's so unique.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool. And his brother, too. I don't know. They were doing the Shreve brother thing, but I guess.
No, they've been doing their own thing for a while, I think, now.
Well, they have, but then they started.
They played together.
Played it together. It was really cool, but I like both of them, man.
Yeah,
really cool.
Benjamin's a good dude. He has got a great energy. He's fun to hang out with. We need to get him back in the
rock. Talented guys, creative guys, and be a fun, perfect Halloween show because he's got that Jack White thing kind
yeah.
of. Not necessarily sounds like it, but that vibe kind of.
No, it is so, unique. If you're not familiar with Randall Shreve, you can look it up.
Get on there. Get in
Find some on iTunes. They're very talented, not nearly as talented as Barrett Salee, who is a Matt Stell favorite. He joins us on the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. Barrett, what are you going to dress up as for Halloween tomorrow?
I'm dressing up as the father of a two-year-old who's dressed up like Jake in the Neverland Pirates.
I don't even know what that is. Is that cool?
It's one of those Disney Junior shows that get of which the songs get stuck in your head for hours at a time. And yeah, but I may put on a Braves hat or something and dress like a dying Braves fan that needs to have a World Series title sometime soon. But that would just be reality, not really a costume.
Would you like paint little tears on your face and stuff?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't paint them. They'd actually exist,
especially
if the Cardinals win tonight.
Haven't they dried up? You know what? You're the second disappointed fan we've talked to today. So we actually had Alyssa Milano on earlier, and she was very upset about the Dodgers. They got very close.
But, well, I would be there to comfort Alyssa Milano if she needs it.
That could be awkward. I don't know what would be more awkward for her husband or your wife, but nevertheless. Let's talk some college football, eh?
I love it.
Yeah, see what I did there? I went Canadian, even though Christina's not here today. So I was just trying to represent our friends north of the border. Last weekend, one of the gutsiest performances in, I don't want to say history, but in recent memory with Connor Shaw coming off the bench. I mean, it was almost like the natural. I mean, the dude, the only thing he didn't do was like throw the football into the stadium lights and make them explode or something, you know. But it was the next best thing. That was such an inspiring performance by him. And as a guy who picked Missouri, I was deeply disappointed that he led them back. But, dude, that was a pretty impressive performance last week.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, and to compound it, I mean, we really didn't know how impressive it was until after the game when we found out he was sick all week. And so, I mean, the guy, Connor Shaw, I mean, all he does is win. I think his record is 25-5 or 23-5 as a starter, now 1-0 as a reliever, so to speak. He is, I think when we look back on this era of SEC football, talking about Alabama dynasty and Johnny Manziel and even dating back to Shaw's freshman season with Cam Newton, it was like, I don't think we're going to appreciate just how good he actually is, because he's been at the helm and at the most prosperous time of South Carolina football, and he is the heart of that team, the soul of that team. I think you saw that on Saturday night. It was impressive, and I think it was just one of several impressive performances that I think Shaw has had. Unfortunately, I think we've let a lot of them sort of go by the wayside without really taking a lot of notice.
Yeah, because he's just so darn solid, but he's not necessarily always sexy. But it is amazing what he's done through the year, especially when he's been healthy. But on the flip side, you got Missouri, and certainly devastating loss for them last week. But they still control their own destiny in the East. This week, James Franklin apparently is questionable, and he will continue to improve health wise. What do they do with him and Mock? Do they play them both in some capacity? Do they install Franklin as the sole, the sole starter and player quarterback? What do you think will happen there?
I think they'll play James Franklin when he's 100%, but not a moment before then. They trust Matty Mock. Losing to South Carolina, that's not his fault. I think the play calling got way too conservative in the second half. But it's James Franklin's job. Matty Mock still made some fresh mistakes. James Franklin was awesome all year long until he got hurt. So I would imagine he is going to take the snaps, and it would be business as usual once he gets to 100%. I don't think that'll be this week. It probably won't even be next week, to be honest with you. But once that happens, it's Franklin's job. There's no doubt in my mind. Matty Mock is a good player, and he's got a good future. But James Franklin is the guy they need down the stretch. He's been in big games, throughout his career in two conferences. He knows what it takes to win. He knows what it takes to get that offense clicking at a high level. I mean, even in down days, there was no chance that Missouri puts up only 17 points in regulation. You know, James Franklin would have done more than that. So I think it's his job. And when Matty Mock is called upon in the future, this year it'll be as a backup, and then next year I would imagine he ascends to that starting spot.
Barrett, I can't take credit for this. I saw it online this morning. Somebody called it the largest outdoor infirmary this weekend in Jacksonville between Florida and Georgia. Very appropriate, though. This is an elimination game for sure, and it may not matter anyway if Missouri takes care of its business. But who do you see coming out of that in the game of two teams that are very beaten up?
I think Georgia's going to play. Mark Richt has basically said that unless there's some big setback, Todd Gurley is in. I think Michael Bennett should be being back. It's huge for that offense because – you know, he's Murray's guy. And then on the flip side, I think this is the game where Georgia's defense finally comes to play. Florida's offensive line is beat up. They just announced that DJ Humphries is out 2 to 4 weeks on the offensive line, which is even more problems. You know, Florida's offense against Georgia's defense is really what's going to determine this game because both of those units are terrible. I just think Florida has more injuries that are, you know, just compounding issues on their offense than Georgia has on defense, especially if Trey Matthews comes back for Georgia. So, yeah, I think Georgia gets the job done. They're able to control tempo. I think they'll be able to move the football enough on Florida, and it'll be ugly. There's no doubt it'll be ugly, but I think Georgia just has enough and is getting healthy. I wouldn't say healthier. They're just getting a little bit different healthy because, you know, their stars are coming back and Todd Gurley and Michael Bennett, while a couple other players are still on the mend.
Barrett Salee, BleacherReport.com, joining us on the Stiggy's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Arkansas, Auburn this week. Arkansas coming off a bye week. We are very hopeful here. I'm watching it, and I'm seeing, okay, great, you know, fine, you know, whatever. Looking through the numbers today, and I kind of felt like, oh, yeah, Arkansas's got a chance. But now the more I look in the numbers, I'm thinking, man, they're going to get destroyed this weekend. Arkansas does have the bye week to benefit, and they are apparently shaking things up as far as basically reopening every position and making guys, I think they're going to give some guys some opportunities, maybe haven't had them. What do you see playing out here?
You know, I thought Auburn was primed for a big win, but Gus Malzahn was rather non-committal on the teleconference today about the status of Nick Marshall at quarterback. So that makes me sort of, you know, scratch my head a little bit and maybe revisit the idea that Auburn's going to go in there and cruise because, you know, Jeremy Johnson's a good quarterback, but, you know, he going on the road in the SEC is not an easy thing to do. I don't think they want to do it. I don't think they would ideally need him to do it. But if Nick Marshall's not healthy, that drastically changes that offense because, you know, a lot of the success they've had on the ground is because of Nick Marshall's threat as a runner. So, you know, I don't know. I think Arkansas is the having the bye week certainly helps. Will that help them, you know, develop a downfield passing attack? You know, it may, and the fact that Auburn can't play pass defense will certainly help too, but I don't know if that'll be enough because, you know, Arkansas, you know, the last few games really struggled to stop the run. The one thing Auburn does is run. You know, I think it'll be limited if Nick Marshall doesn't play, but even if he doesn't, they can still, you know, mix and match and get those guys in the right position. So I think Auburn wins it either way, but if Nick Marshall doesn't play, I think it'll be a four-quarter game for sure.
Well, that would be an improvement over recent weeks.
Scoring would be an improvement over recent weeks for Arkansas.
That's true, too. Good point. Yeah, and again, we're still that fourth quarter run that we talked about a couple of weeks ago is still intact. Arkansas still has yet to score in the fourth quarter for, I think this is like 5 weeks in a row. So it's been pretty remarkable.
And hasn't scored a single point in 7 weeks.
In seven quarters, yeah.
No, seven quarters. I'm sorry. Yes. Not 7 weeks. Good Lord.
It feels like 7 weeks.
Brett Bielema would be fired at that point.
Yes. Do you think, one last thing here and we'll let you go. Do you think Missouri ends up ultimately winning the East, or do you think South Carolina or someone else catches them?
I think South Carolina does because they've only got two SEC games left, Mississippi State this weekend and then a bye week before Florida. I think they win both of those games, and Georgia loses to Auburn, which would knock Georgia out if they win this weekend. And Missouri falls to Texas A&M on the final weekend of the year. That would get them a two-way tie with South Carolina and lose that head-to-head. So, you know, we could be talking about on rivalry weekend, Missouri-Texas A&M being one of the bigger games, if not the biggest game in the SEC, because Missouri would absolutely have to win that while South Carolina just sort of sits back in the clubhouse and, you know, looks at its record and says, you know, see what you can do, Missouri. And I don't know if they can handle that. You know, Manziel versus Missouri for Missouri's shot to Atlanta on the line, that would be interesting.
It would be. Barrett, appreciate it. Pick for tonight's game?
Red Sox.
Okay.
Just because I don't like the Cardinals?
Yeah. I'm with you there. I feel your pain.
Is that good enough?
That's a great reason. Good as any. I'll go with it. Barrett, appreciate the time very much. Always good. Check out more from Barrett on BleacherReport.com. We'll talk.